got something. You know, it's wonderful. That's what I think. That's what church should be. We should be coming in here, and we just can't wait to share what God has done. You know, what supernatural thing has He done for us to, you know, yesterday and the day before? You know, we should all have these wondrous stories, these supernatural stories of God moving and working in our lives. You know, that's who He is. We just need to start expecting it, right? You know, everything that you've heard and in these testimonies, if He's done it for others, He'll do for you. So, you know, He says, I want that, Lord. So, Lord, I take it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome everyone here today and thank God for another opportunity to share. And Pastor Dave has come up with another wonderful lesson. I was so excited to share, as I usually am. Because, you know, the more I study, the more excited I get about His Word and His love and just everything He's done for us, you know. And this lesson is called Effortless Change, and this is Lesson 2. Now, one thing is the principle behind this lesson is as we get into God's Word, the more we get into it, the more change comes. A lot of times we try to physically work on ourselves or mentally work on ourselves to try to affect change. You know we need to become more and more like Jesus Christ, but it's hard. It just seems like I can't do it. Sometimes you get disciplined, you may be able to work it for a little while, and then all of a sudden, you give out. And it's because we're doing it wrong. Change comes as we read, we study, we understand and apply His Word. Now, it says effortless change. I'm like, I don't know if I like that. Forgive me, Pastor. I don't know if I like that because it does take effort to study God's Word. Because you know what? Our flesh doesn't want to have anything to do with it because it knows that the more you read, the more you study, the more it doesn't get its way. Right? So your flesh is going to go try to get you out of it because it doesn't want it. Right? And then, you know what? The devil definitely doesn't want you to be reading and studying God's Word. So he is going to do anything and everything he can do to distract you. Right? It's like a war almost in your mind going on when you're trying to study God's Word. Because that, oh man, he is going to try to distract you in any and every way. The way I describe it, you know, it talks about in Ephesians 6, a fiery dart. Now, a fiery dart may not be able to do much damage, but if you don't put it out, it spreads. And that's what the devil hopes to do. That's what he does when you're trying to read the Word. He's trying to throw that fiery dart at you and get you distracted. You just say, in the name of Jesus, you know, I just push that aside in Jesus' name. I will study the Word of God. I will have the Holy Spirit, who is my teacher, teach me as I read. It's important. So I do think it takes effort, you know, to establish a time of Bible study, you know, a time of sitting there reading, but also listening, you know, because the Holy Spirit's there to teach us. And if we're not listening, you know, it's kind of hard to get what He's trying to get down to us, right? So anyway, so effortless change. I think Andrew Womack says that because, you know, some people just are disciplined, and they have that discipline, and they're able to do it. As he talks about reading and studying God's Word for 8 to 16 hours a day. I have never done that. You know? I'm like, wow. I think when I was first saved, I think I spent the summer, I read through the whole Bible. And that took a lot of time. But besides that, I don't think I've ever been able to spend that much time in the Word at any given time. So I think that's why he says effortless change. He was able to do the study that caused that change to happen, you know? It comes through His Word and studying. So number one, according to God's Word, how are we transformed in our thinking? It starts by taking a gospel, okay? So let's read John 6:63. So it is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Guys, I believe that as I speak his word to you, that spirit is coming to you, that his spirit is coming and bringing life to you, health to you, strength to you, freedom to you in a supernatural way. That every time you come and you hear the word spoken, especially in this church, there's going to be a change for the good in us, because we're hearing the word in power and in spirit and in truth every time. So to share a testimony about the gospel, right? first started coming here, and I had been having acid reflux for about 8 or 9 years. Everything that came to the market, my doctor would try to help me. You know, I'd have to sit up, you know, with three pillows, and at times I would have to jump up and run and go throw up. I mean, it was that bad. It interrupted my sleep enough to where I was running off the road, just falling asleep and running off the road because it was just that severe. It was a word of knowledge given by Pastor Kimberly, and Pastor's like, you know, God is going to heal you and heal you now. That you've been dealing with this for a long time. So Pastor Dave's like, all right, lay your hands on him. And everybody who's around me laid hands on me. And then that was good. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Well, that evening, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm still dealing with this. What's going on? God spoke. He said, look, he says, I want you to continue to take your medicine. But what I want you to do is I want you to write healing scriptures on a card. Put them above your medicine cabinet. So before you take the medication, I want you to take the word of God as if you were taking it as a pill. And I'm like, okay. So I did that, and about 7 days went by, and God's like, all right, start taking half of your medication because it had lessened a lot. And then by the second week, he's like, all right, stop taking that medication altogether. And then I was completely healed, you know? After eight or nine years of that terrible, terrible disease, you know? But I was taking the gospel. He came through. Amen? Let's read Romans 8 and 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So a lot of times, you know, this whole world is designed to program you to think like it thinks, to act like it acts, to speak what it speaks, right? And we have to reprogram ourselves. We, you know, that's the carnal mind, you know? It's saying, in the case of giving, you know, you need to get all you can and can all you get. You know, it's mine. You can't have it. You know, I'm not giving this away. I worked hard for this. That's the mindset of the world. But God's mindset, the spiritual mindset, is whatever God gives you, he wants you to give away. And knowing that as you give away, God's going to give you more to give away. And when you're faithful there, then he's going to give you even more to give away. And we have many testimonies that way. But that's the difference between being carnally minded and being spiritually minded. But when you're spiritually minded, it will bring life and peace. Now, that life is the word Zoe. And you guys, it is the life of God. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what comes to you when you're spiritually minded. When you've taken his word and replaced that carnally minded stuff, and you put in that spiritually minded stuff, so that now you're walking, you're talking what God says, what the word says, and being able to live in it. And then also his peace comes. And that peace is basically a rest. It means rest. Being able to rest in the Lord in all things. So no matter what comes, you can be at rest, knowing that God, if God is for us, who can be against us? In all things. So you can rest. Now, a wonderful picture of being able to be at rest, even though there's some really bad things happening, is when Jesus was in the back of the boat, and his disciples are over there, and they're bailing the ship out because it was about to sink. And where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the back of the boat. And they're like, Lord, don't you even care? Well, he was able to rest, even though there was a storm of life coming and threatening to even kill them, but he was still at rest. And you can have that perfect peace when you are spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. So this is something that we really want, right? Can you imagine if that no matter what comes, you can be at rest and peace like that? That would be worth a lot. It is worth taking the time to become spiritually minded, right? So God's word is spirit. So we must be word of God minded, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen? That perfect peace, that perfect rest will come to you as you keep your mind on him and his word. All right? Let's say, don't allow your mind to wander from the word. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. All right? So who are you paying attention to? Are you paying attention to the words or maybe some of the things that your mom taught you that might be contrary to the word, you know? Are you paying attention to your friends and what they're saying that might be contrary to the word? Are you giving your attention to God's word and God's word only? But no, I mean, sometimes there's a little bit of truth in those things that are coming to you, but not the full truth. It says, incline your ear to my sayings. So what you need to do is you need to get close to that, the source. Who's speaking? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And you need to get as close as you can to who is speaking. You need to spend time listening to him. Every time you're in the word, you should be expecting the Holy Spirit to speak to you. To speak to you as you read. Okay? He starts speaking, you stop and you listen. If you've got a journal, write it down what he says so that you can remember and come back to it. But he will speak to you every time because that's what he wants to do. He wants you to know his wisdom in everything, in every word that he has. It says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Okay? So now, you know, you're listening to him. And you're trying to get as close as you can so you can hear clearly. But you're also trying to see. You know, God, as I'm reading, sometimes he speaks, but sometimes he shows me things too, you know. So I was praying about the heart one time. And all of a sudden, I saw this huge valley, all right. It was wide. I mean, it must have been a mile this way and a mile that way and probably 4 or 5 miles this way. And it was like a valley. And the valley, the two mountain ranges kind of went this way and then this way and they met. And then there was a river coming from the top of where the two mountain ranges came down and came down. At the top, there was a bright light, right? Right there at the top where that river is flowing. It came down in the valley and it split 7 ways, okay? But right in the middle, there was this little house. You know, I was asking God about the heart. And he said, look, this is where you live. This is where you are. As you come and you read and you study and you meditate on God's word, you are planting. Because it was mainly bare, all these areas. It was a huge area that I had there, and it was mine. It was my heart. And there was only a few areas that were planting. And some of the areas, there was right there close to the house, there was a beautiful garden, just with all kinds of flowers and things like that. And then right there in the middle of that flower garden, there were some stones, right, that you could sit down. And, you know, God showed me, he says that, well, this is where you come and you can sit down with Jesus. And you guys can just talk and enjoy. But there's other things like the trees of salvation and all these things. But as you read the word, basically you're taking these areas in your heart and you're planting this seed, right? And you're waiting for it to come up and yield what you've planted. And this can go on and on and on. You know, those people like Andrew Womack and all these other big names and stuff, what they have done is they have planted so much. They have more than enough for themselves and to give away. And we get to enjoy it. And a lot of times, even Andrew Womack, I was wasn't Kenneth Hagin, it was Copeland. He said he would go to a Copeland meeting, and then he would just receive from them, and he would go back, and for about 2 weeks, he would see healings and miracles, and all of a sudden, it would wean away. And God says, well, you know, you went over there, and you were able to partake of what he has planted, he has given, and you have been able to eat of that and enjoy. But when it were, you know, when it's you're out, you're out. You need to do some planning yourself. So that you have a continuous availability. Anyway, back to you want to hear and get close, but also you're looking for him to show you things. Things that are spiritual that will help you to understand what you're trying to do. And I respond a lot to, especially when he shows me things. I know a lot of times when he speaks to me, I'll hear him, but it's harder to remember. When he shows me things, it's like I can go and visit there over and over again. I don't know if that other people have experienced that. But when he shows me something, I can visit over and over again. He just teaches me more and more, you know, when he kind of leads me that way again. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, that's where you're trying to get that word. You want to get that word in your heart. All right? Because it's by faith we believe, but we believe that from our heart. If you don't believe it in your heart, then nothing's going to happen. So we want to get that word into our heart. For they are life. That's that Zoe life again, the life of God to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So I believe every time we hear the word of God spoken with power and authority, it's not only going to affect you and what it says, but it's going to bring life and health to you each and every time. There is a blessing, a healing blessing commanded upon his word, that when you hear it, health is going to come to you just from hearing God's word spoken in spirit and in power. Amen? Let's see. Do we really believe God's word is health to all our flesh? Psalms 107:20. So the filling is health. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Praise God. Jesus is the word that was sent. And he has, by his stripes, that we were healed. We can know that and walk in that and experience that. Amen? Amen. So every time you're reading the word, you need to expect health and healing is coming to you. Now, one way of hearing this that I use, by the way, is I have the YouVersion app on my phone, right? And on that, I can actually play the Bible, you know? So in the morning, I get up and I'm like, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And when my feet hit the ground, I say, thank you for victory. Victory is mine because of you, Lord Jesus. And then I get my phone out and I go to that YouTube app and then I play the Bible. So that when I'm getting ready in the morning, that word is coming to me, you know. And I'm sometimes I get distracted, but what I try to do is I repeat it in my mind or just even out loud so that I don't get distracted from what I'm hearing. But it's one way. And people are like, man, that is really going overboard there, Tim. Like, no. If you really want to experience all that the word has for you and it has promised you, you need to be over the top with that too, you know? So if anyone wants to know how to do that, I'll be glad to show you because it is a blessing. Wow, it is such a blessing. So number two, how do we build our faith? We must continually be hearing God's word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the connotation here, though, is to hear and to hear again and hear more and hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. A lot of times we hear it once and like, oh, I've heard that. But really, you haven't. Maybe you've heard it, but if it's not in you and then you know that you know that you know and you're standing and you're experiencing it, then you really don't know it. And a lot of times we need to get into it. We need to hear the same thing over and over again. But one thing will happen, though, is God will establish truth in you and then build on that truth each time you come and read it through. You know, pastor's been around for a really long time. But you know what? He goes, you know, I've read this over and over again, and God has shown me something new again. That's what's so wonderful about his word. We can read the same scripture, you know, 50, 60 years, and God's going to continually show us something new and living and powerful, you know? And we should be expecting that. We should be excited about his God's word, you know? Amen? So we as we start meditating on the scriptures, health will flow through us. And it's Romans 12. I know it says 3, but it's actually verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we don't want to be conformed into the mold of what this world wants us to be, you know? They're, you know, when you're not walking and talking like them, they're like, you're weird. Something's going on with you. You're weird. You're peculiar, you know? And because, you know, what we're trying to do, we're trying to be transformed, right? Transformed by his word. Transformation comes not because we will it so, but because we're spending time in his word, in his spirit, okay? So we prove what is good this way when we do this, okay? So when I was first saved, about 3 months in, I'm sitting there and I hear this word, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And it went off like an explosion in my heart. And I'm like, this is an answer for something I've been dealing with for a very long time, you know? So as far back as I can remember, you know, I know at least 5 years old, but I know it was happening before this. This evil presence would come into my room, right? It'd wake me up, and my hair on my arm would stand up. I was just terrified, you know? And when I was small, I would leap off the bed and run to my mom and dad and just crying and weeping, you know, trying to get some kind of help. And eventually my dad just got tired of it and just whipped me and put me on my knees in the living room and says, when you stop crying, you can go to bed. So I couldn't go to them. So even up to when I was 17 years old, I was dealing with this. Even after I got saved, he was still coming in the room. But now I heard the word. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I was ready. My gosh, I was in bed, and all of a sudden that presence woke me up. Here he is, my hair is standing on my arms. And before I would stand up on my bed, even at 17, because I was afraid if I put my foot on the floor that he would grab me from underneath the bed. I know it's silly, but I was terrified. You know, I'd run and I'd go to the living room and I would sit there with the lights on and the pillow until I basically fell asleep. But this time I had God's word, right? And when he came in, I said, greater is he in me, Jesus, than you that's in this world. And you have to go now. And that presence went, it went away. And I was like, oh, wow, I proved his word. And it was good. It was good. Very good. Something that I had been dealing with for so many years. His word was my answer. And he did it. I believed it. It was in my heart. I was ready, you know. So, wow, that was a good thing. You know, he came back a couple more times, but I had his word then. I'm like, oh no. Greater is he that is in me than he that is this world. I was able to. Actually, God spoke to me and says, now you can turn the light off. Here, I was 17 years old, still sleeping with the light on because I was just so scared. So I got up and turned the light out and went to sleep. God's word will come through for you. If you can get it in your heart and you can believe it, it is your answer for everything that comes your way, every problem that comes your way. Amen? Yes. So our minds become transformed. That's your next fill-in, transformed. The Greek word is metamorpho, and it is used in science as the change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And this is a beautiful picture, right? You know, a caterpillar is born, and basically, you know, I was reading up on it, and its lifespan, it may go 20 feet, right? From where it's born, maybe 20 feet. Not very much. He has to move slowly, you know, to get anywhere. It's hard to get from here to there because what he has to do that, you know? And that's our lives before Jesus, before his word. But this metamorphosis will come to you when you read God's word and your mind is changed and you start believing what he has said. It'll transform your mind so that you can become like a butterfly. You know, those. Can you imagine as a caterpillar thinking that one day he'll be able to fly 1,000 miles when all its life has been within about 20 feet? Right? Well, with Jesus and his word, you can fly. You can do things that were impossible before. They are possible now. You get to show off the beauty and the splendor of our God and Creator. You get to flutter around on the wind of His Spirit as He lifts you and carries you. It's beautiful. But you know what? You serve the God of miracles. And miracles should be happening in your life all the time. All the time. If it's not happening, it's probably because, well, you're not spending enough time in His Word. You're not spending enough time with Him. Because when you do that, it just happens. That effortless change comes, and then all of a sudden you're seeing, you're reaping what you've sowed, His Word in your heart. Amen? Said that last sentence there, and two, is we cannot grow if we rely strictly on emotions. Now, you know, the world's like, well, I felt this, or I felt this, I was upset, or this or that. But, you know, emotions are very unreliable. You know, someone could come in here and say, I just got a call. Your daughter's been in a wreck, and she's hurt, you know. And what is my emotions going to do? It's going to start getting upset, you know, maybe cry or fearful. Of course, I won't let that happen now because I know. I immediately turned to God and said, God, I'm holding on to you. You got me here. You got even this. I don't care what I hear. I want to hear what you say about this, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to do what you want me to hear. But emotions want to go that way, right? So we need to say, oop, stop. Because it could be that that's not even my, that wasn't even, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't your daughter, that was someone else. But your emotions will react to the things that you hear. That people say. So you need to stop. If something's negative comes your way, you need to stop and say, nope, 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 God, what do you say? What do you say about this? I'm trusting in you, and I don't care what I hear, I'm trusting in you. Amen? So number three, let's read Psalms 19, 7 through 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Amen. So, and probably most of you know this, but you are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Okay? So your spirit, when you're born again, you become righteous and holy just like Jesus. It can't get any more righteous, and it cannot get any more holy. It's already been saved, sanctified, and holified. Right? Your soul is being saved. That salvation of your soul comes from reading His Word, understanding His Word, and applying His Word. Okay? So that's the difference. Like, wait a minute. He says this is mine, but I'm not experiencing it. Well, you need to get in His Word. You need to get in and transform your mind so that you know and you agree with Him instead of what the world is saying, right? And walking in that. Amen? So, and then you have your flesh. Well, it's not going to get saved until Jesus comes back, all right? And so what you need to work on is your soul. You can't do anything to change your spirit, and you can't do anything to change your flesh. But if you can get your soul to agree with your spirit, then it'll win over what the flesh wants. And the way that comes is to read and study his word. Amen? The word will transform you from accepting your pain as the world does to converting your soul, mind, and understanding by God's promises. Remember, there is great reward in embracing God's word. Psalms 19:9-11. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and right all together. So one scripture you don't have is James 1:21, but we're going to go there. Should have it in the, was it not in there? I thought I had it in there. Sorry. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Your spirit's already saved, but your souls need saving. And that's how salvation comes in your hands, in your time that you have, reading and studying his word. Amen? So number four, we are subject to doubt. But the word of God, so that fill in is doubt. But the word of God is pure light. Psalms 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When you walking in the truth of this world, or so-called truth of this world, it's like you're walking around blind, you know? So what happens is walking around blind, and then there's a pit. And if you fall in the pit, you're going to get hurt. But you know you're feeling your way around, and then all of a sudden you fall in the pit. The school of hard knocks, as we've heard, you know, is we figure out, oh, there was a pit there, so don't go there. But you know what? When we read and study God's word, light comes, understanding comes, and we can avoid the pit. So we don't have to learn from hard knocks. We can avoid that. There's a lot of things that could trip us up that's here in the world. But if we're really looking to God and his word, he'll help us navigate around those things. Because we can see and we can know the truth because of his great light, his pure light. When our thinking changes, so does our life. John the Baptist had doubts toward the end of his life, but Jesus pointed toward the word of God to answer those doubts. So he was thrown in prison and eventually beheaded, but as he was in prison, he was hearing all these everything going on with Jesus. And then he had some doubts. You know, when a lot of times when things are going kind of hard in life and then you're going through that and you're waiting and you're waiting, sometimes, you know, we give up, right? And we're like, well, maybe I didn't hear right. You know, here I am. I'm captive. I can't do anything right now. I need to check. I need to see. Hey, Jesus, are you the one that we're expecting? Okay. John had great revelation from the Lord all his life, but time has a way of distracting and even robbing us. This is the next fill-in. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Okay? So I know that John knew that he knew that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He spoke it out loud. He didn't care who heard it. He was telling everybody. But now he was doubting because he was kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. But one of the things, as a pastor says, John probably thought Jesus was going to destroy the Roman Empire as Messiah. He did not see there would be two Advents. So Advents is Jesus coming, right? When you read the Old Testament, there's all these prophecies about Jesus. Well, some of the prophecies were the suffering servant, or the Lamb of God, right? But then there was the other ones that talked about the conquering king, right? And man, you know, if I'm reading it, I'm like, yeah, I like that conquering king. Yeah, he's going to come and he's going to set up here in Jerusalem and we're going to kick the Romans' butt, you know? So I understand that they were looking for something different than what they were seeing. But Jesus was coming to fulfill the prophecy of a suffering Messiah as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The disciples of Jesus thought the same thing, Acts 1:6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Well, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" So even his disciples that had been with him for 3 years, day and night, they still were expecting. They wanted to see that conquering king come into power, and then them come into power with him. But that's not going to come until he comes back again, okay? If our lives are too busy, is the fill-in, to spend time in the Word, we cannot mature by just trying to bootleg the gospel from someone else. So, bootleg. You're getting something from, I'll take that, you know? There's a little bit of substance. So someone, you know, shared this with me, and it really stuck with me. When you're sitting here and you're hearing someone share, you know, what God has told them, it's like they've chewed up, they've taken the Word and they chewed it up, you know, and like a bird putting it in your mouth for sustenance. It'll bring sustenance to you, but I tell you what, it's so much better when you are able to feed yourself, right? The other thing is you can look at it this way. When you come here and you hear the Word, doesn't matter how rich it is, it's milk. And it's only going to sustain you for so long. If you want to get something good, you want a big, nice, juicy steak that's going to stick with you after you've eaten it, that's when you sit down yourself at the table of Jesus Christ and you read his Word and let him serve that up to you, right? And you can enjoy and it'll sustain you. It'll help you to grow. There's a lot of Christians that have been Christians for even 50 years, and they're still babes in Christ because they've never gotten away from, well, I just supposed to go to church and hear the Word, and I read the Word every so often, so I'm good, right? No, God wants us to grow, and that growth's going to come when we sit down at his table and let him feed us that nice, juicy steak. You know I love steak. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. So the last line here says, we need to personally spend time in the Word and not coast. James 4, 6, and 7. But we give more grace, or he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, to his Word, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You're going to have to first hear his Word, submit to his Word, and that's submitting to God. And then you're able to resist. So get the Word in you, so when the time comes and the devil comes, you can say, nope, God says this, I believe it, I'm standing on it. Now, devil, I'm resisting you, and you will flee and flee now. So guys, you guys need to study the Word, not just an occasional reading or a little bit of study. It needs to be something that you guys seek after, you know? It said in one of the scriptures that it's more precious than gold. You know, when you read the Word and you read over it and everything, you might find a gold nugget here or there or a little bit here and there. But you know, the ones that strike it rich are the ones who dig deep, who take the time, take the tools that he's been given and dig deep. And then you can strike it rich, rich in his Word. So I want you guys to just to dig deep. Take the time. So I know there's gold in that Word of God. I'm gonna dig it up, and I'm going to be made rich in every way. Right? And that's how it's going to come. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. Father, no longer, Lord, we're just going to set it aside or count it as something that is not worth our time. But Lord, now we're going to say, no, it's great. It's worth a lot. And we're going to spend that time. We're going to take the time to listen to you, to see what you have to say, to see what you have to show. And I thank you, Lord, as we take that time, I thank you that we're going to be transformed. Our minds are going to be transformed so that we can become more and more like Jesus. Lord, your intention is to have little Jesuses all over this world, and that comes only through reading and studying your word. So help us, Lord. Have mercy upon us where we failed, but give grace, your supernatural and our natural, to establish this and do this. Lord, in Jesus' name.